one of those Mondays where you're just happy to be alive. There's so much to smile about. The New York Yankees are on the verge of clinching the American League East. The New York Mets, in front of electric crowds at Citi Field, take 3-0-4 from the Phillies and are in a great spot as they head to Atlanta. And with Tiki out today, he'll be back tomorrow. He's at some Giant event. Sean Morash decided to take the bag off of his head because the bag's off and the season's on.
Evan, it is so great to be here. I would like to be the first to welcome everybody in the tri-state area to football season. Because it began yesterday in Cleveland, Ohio, and I am so thankful that it is back. The air's a little crisp today, and the NFL season has officially begun. The New York Giants are now 1-0, set for a big game with the Dallas Cowboys Thursday night.
It's amazing. So late last week, or maybe it was the middle of last week, as the Giants were sitting at 0-2, and Sean had the paper bag on his head, and many Giant fans were depressed about where this season was going, I tried to find hope by comparing them to the New York Mets and how, shockingly, the Mets are in this spot that they're in right now, which we'll get into as the show rolls on. And what's amazing to me is I thought the Giants had a Mets moment two plays in. If you remember back in April, when the Mets were being no-hit by the Tigers, and there was nobody in the building, it was like this infamous moment from the Mets season. The Mets are being no-hit, no one's in the ballpark, it's rock bottom. Well, if we go back to Sunday at about 1:08 p.m., when Eric Gray puts the kick return on the ground, and then one play later, and you can't blame Tay Banks, I thought his coverage was great, Amari Cooper ends up in the end zone, and it's 7-0 Cleveland. And then, oh, by the way, the Giants then go 3-and-out. Are you not thinking to yourself, oh my God, I'm in the pits of hell?
Evan, not only I was in the pits of hell, I was scrolling FanDuel to see if I could bet New York Rangers anytime goal scorers in a preseason game. That's how depths of hell I felt early in that game. And something happened and something changed, and I think we could get right to it right now. Brian Daboll's got his balls back.
There you go.
Because when he lined up on 4th-and-1 and said, screw this, we're 0-2, the season feels like it's slipping away early in our own territory, and then doesn't even call a drop back pass, just calls, I'm handing this ball to my best player and he's going to make a play. It felt like that moment right there, the game changed, and maybe, just maybe, the season changed.
So I'm with you on this. I think that there were three plays early in this game. As an IFO, which you know I am.
An IFO.
When I sat there and said, okay, things could change right now. And I'll give you the exact three moments. Number one, Sexy Dexy. He is the engine of this defense. He is their best defensive player. You could argue he's the best player on the team. Obviously, how do you argue Dexter Lawrence versus Andrew Thomas? It's a weird freaking argument. And Malik Nabers. Yep. But Dexter Lawrence's sack on 3rd-and-long, which got the Giants the football right back. Down 7-0, yep. I thought was a very important and impactful defensive play. That's number one. Number two, and don't apologize for this, okay? Don't say you're sorry, but I think the officials calling that roughing the passer penalty when Daniel Jones threw what was, I'm sorry, one of the worst interceptions you'll see. I mean, he threw brutal interception that got negated on a roughing the passer penalty that, let's be honest, had nothing to do with the play.
Well, so I'm glad you brought that up. You're right. But the Giants, Daniel Jones, and nobody should apologize because every freaking game for the last couple of years we watch these roughing the passer calls.
Yeah.
And they get called. And by the way, the Giants defense has gotten called up plenty on 3rd down, so I will not apologize. You're right, that was a terrible interception. Side note, if you're a rookie tight end, maybe try to fight for the football a little bit too, coming back, and don't leave your quarterback out to dry, because Theo Johnson did that yesterday. But Evan, here's where I do give Daniel Jones credit. That was inexplicable. I was going right to, is it Tommy DeVito time yet? Everything,
range of emotion, the same thing, by
went
the way.
Through me in that moment saying, of course it's only the Commanders. From that point forward, and again, the 4th-and-1 was a big part of it, and yes, Malik Nabers being basically the next coming of Jerry Rice is part of it. Daniel Jones didn't sink and absolutely melt down the way he has in the past when he makes an early mistake. He took that break and instead turned it into 21 first-half points without blinking.
No, absolutely. Because that play, if that interception is upheld and there is no roughing the passer penalty, I think we're looking at a very different football game.
Oh, by the way, the Browns are still holding an orchestra set in the end zone celebrating that, by the way. I mean, the flag's on the field for 13 minutes, and they're out there basically doing a chorus line in the 7th grade.
While they were doing the chorus line, I swear to you, I was thinking the exact same thing you said. I was already breaking down quarterback change. Because I'm thinking to myself, you can't throw that interception. This is a backbreaking moment in this game We're very close to making a change. That's how I viewed it. Then you see the flag. And then here's another underrated important thing before we get to the play that I agree with you was huge. Brian Daboll getting his balls back. The next play they ran. Do you remember what the next play they ran was after the interception?
After the interception.
It's small, but it's important.
Was it the Wandell Robinson?
No, it was a bomb downfield to Jalen Hyatt.
Oh, the miss to Hyatt. Okay,
and
yes.
I like it.
You're right.
Even if it didn't work, I liked it.
Because, I liked it just because it reminded me Hyatt's on the team.
Yeah, me too. I forgot about that for a second.
Yeah.
But I also think it showed you that this can be a part of their offense. Let's take shots down the field. So you saw them take a shot down the field, and then you saw, as you pointed out, and I was proud to see this, because I've been critical of Brian Daboll over the last year, not because of anything personal, not because I think he's a bad guy, but because he's not the guy that we remember from year one. What we remember from year one was Brian Daboll having guts, Brian Daboll being aggressive. And I know we argued about this 2 weeks ago concerning some of the fourth down decisions he made in week one. I'm more aggressive maybe than you were. But on fourth and one from their own 43-yard line, I could have sworn we were going to see 23 Brian Daboll. And 23 Brian Daboll punts the ball away.
Yeah.
And at that point in the game, the defense started to play well. Remember, they had the big sack by Dexter Lawrence we talked about. And sure, maybe they forced a three and out and get the ball back. But I want to put pressure on the Cleveland Browns. And I also want to show my team I believe in you. So having Daboll go back to the guy from 2022 was incredibly important. And then, you know, once you make the decision to go for it, you got to draw up a hell of a play. And I love having the ball in the hands of Malik Nabers, even on a sweep like that. I thought it was a great play call. It was executed. And I commend Brian Daboll in that moment for, as you said, getting his Daboll's back.
And you know what helps getting his Daboll's back, Evan? The offensive line. Because last year, 2023 Brian Daboll, if he did attempt that, the entire line, including Josh Azudu and Evan Neal, would have been completely blown off the ball. And that kind of play, whether it was run to Saquon Barkley, whoever, would have been a three-yard loss. Instead, the undeniable change in this team, besides Malik Nabers, is the fact that the Giants aren't getting their ass kicked in the trenches. And that goes for both sides of the ball. An offensive line on fourth and one that can stand up versus one of the better defensive fronts in football, which is the Cleveland Browns, and be able to run that play. And Malik Nabers, it wasn't even a sweat for him to get around the corner.
No, wasn't even close.
Says a lot. The offensive line has changed everything in your belief in how to call a game for the New York Giants.
Absolutely.
Right now.
And I think the other thing that happened, once that conversion occurred, and then obviously Devin Singletary punches it in, and this game is tied at 7, as I think we saw, this is why I would be optimistic coming out of this game. Why, as an IFO, I feel like, okay, this can lead to something. It's not a fart in the wind win. It's not just, they beat a crappy Brown team. Who cares? I understand that could happen in the NFL, but you look for signs. When we sat here last week trying to figure out if the Giants could turn their season around, I laid out a formula to you. And that formula was very similar to what the Giants did in 2016. Have a big-time defense, get an excellent pass rush, and have one guy on offense do everything. And essentially, that's what they did. That's what they did in 2016. It was the Odell Beckham Jr. show. And when you look at what that offense did, especially on the drive that put him up 14-7, you've got Malik Nabers making plays on third down. You've got Malik Nabers taking interceptions away. You've got Malik Nabers making plays. And oh, by the way, you have a defense that's absolutely dominating.
Yeah.
And who cares about how banged up the Brown offensive line is? That is irrelevant. And I hope you learn from this, Sean. See, you're petty. You'd like to look at any Jet victory and kind of poke holes in it.
Not
and
me.
I say it's the NFL.
Not my
it doesn't
Jets.
Matter who your opponent is. Just beat them. So do the Cleveland Browns have issues? Sure. Not my problem. Not your problem. Not Brian Daboll's problem. Not Malik Nabers' problem. Not Dexter Lawrence's problem. And I thought the Giants did a great job of exposing it. And we saw what I think could be the formula to their success. An outstanding pass rush, which we saw, and an offense that can be carried sometimes by one man.
Well,
which is what we saw.
I'll do you one better. They don't have Eli Manning. They have Daniel Jones. I think the offense is better than 2016. Look, they did enough last week versus Washington, in theory, to score 5 touchdowns, you know, the kicker situation and everything that happened. Yesterday, that's an offense. If Singletary doesn't slide and not a missed kick, they still scored 31 points. And yes, Nabers is such a big part of it. But the importance, Wandell Robinson, 7 catches for 60 yards, including that enormous 16-yard gain. And Devin Singletary, the fumble's going to be worked out, more on that later.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
But he's become a real workhorse running back, where I kind of don't have my doubts when he holds the ball that we're going to get positive yardage on every single down. So, yes, Malik Nabers changes everything and he the top off the defense. But I think the Giants actually have more weapons besides Nabers that you can kind of rely in down and down out. And so, they didn't have that in 16.
So let me get this straight, okay? And I love seeing this smile from you.
Oh, I feel great.
I like happiness in New York City. I may not like certain teams too in this town, but I like when people are
How
happy.
How about this, Ev?
Yes.
We could get a Subway Series and a Swampland Super Bowl all in 1 year. Let's go.
All right, now you got to calm down. Now you've taken it way too far. But I am curious. Last week, you were wearing a bag on your head. Last week, you preferred the Giants lose so that they could get a better draft pick.
Uh-huh.
Have you retired those two things? Are you back? Are you fully believing in the 2024? Holy crap!
Holy crap!
New York Giants!
You're damn right I am, Evan. You're damn right I am. This is a top 10 defense with the potential to be a top 15 offense. They played their two preseason games. They went on the road versus a playoff team and a playoff defense. And Daniel Jones dog walked the Cleveland Browns in that first half. Now, things got skittish in the second half.
Yeah.
But he dog walked them in the first half. And now the wilting Dallas Cowboys await on Thursday. We have a whole week to break that down. But you know who's nervous today? And ain't people sleeping in East Rutherford, New Jersey. It's Dak Prescott and company because Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence, and Kayvon Thibodeau are coming, and the Dallas Cowboys ain't got no answer.
See, this is what I want to say. You've retired the whole draft pick crap. The paper bag. Have you burned the paper bag?
5 cents? No way. See what they're charging us at these supermarkets?
So if the Dallas Cowboys do what they've done to the Giants for years now,
yeah,
and I'll use your term, dog walk the Giants on Thursday night.
By the way, I will be laying the points with the Cowboys.
You're telling me the bag is coming back on Friday?
No. No, because they've what do you say when you're on death row? You've prolonged your stay of execution?
Right.
The Giants can lose the game Thursday night. Probably will lose the game Thursday night. They're beating Seattle in 2 weeks and bring on the Bengals on Sunday night, setting up them at 3-3 facing the Eagles and the very vulnerable Eagles.
It's amazing to me that one game could bring you back
of
this
course,
full.
Because you could see the path to how they're going to win football games.
But wait a second. Wait a second. I said to you a few days ago, this is the pathway. You still were tanking. Like,
well,
this pathway of having an excellent pass rush, of having a defense that's
I saw the pathway, too.
You and Lugie fight over who loves Malik Nabers more, so obviously both of you already have the guy in Canton. So that part shouldn't stun you.
Evan.
What?
Evan, don't mock me and Lugauer. Malik Nabers, 20 or more catches, 3 or more touchdowns, first receiver in NFL history to do
it. I'm not mocking him.
We've already reached the point where we'd be stunned if he's not in Canton. So,
by the way, I am not mocking.
Think about it. Actually, something would have to go horrifically wrong in his career for him to not end up a Gant at this point. That's how good he is.
I am not mocking Malik Nabers. I have not been negative towards Malik Nabers. I just thought it was always very funny and aggressive how you and Tommy fight over who loves him more.
Oh, he's so good.
Basically, it's like two guys fighting over a girl in high school. Like, well, I asked her out first. No, I asked her out first. No, I said he's the greatest wide receiver ever. Well, I said he's the greatest athlete ever. Like, when Malik Nabers made some incredible catches on Sunday afternoon, all I could think about was you two in a Jell-O wrestling fight over who loves Malik more.
Well, not only that, I don't know if you guys, were you guys up late? I know you did a drive home, Rico.
Yes, I did.
Okay. Were you up late? How late were you up, Lugie?
Last night?
Yeah.
I was up to like 2 a.m.
Okay. So did you see it?
Evan's drive home, Rico?
No. Around 1:30 a.m.
What?
The mayor's office did proclaim that Malik Nabers is the king of New York.
Oh, you got to stop.
See, which I thought was amazing. Yankees on the precipice of playoffs. Brunson says he even started, but Malik Nabers, the new king of New York.
Wow. You guys are something else, man.
I can't believe. Congrats to him. Malik and his family, they deserve that.
Malik is still not in the top 5, but I will tell you, Malik Nabers, his impact to start his NFL career has basically been off the charts.
It is.
He feels like the offense, and he feels different, and it does remind
me of Daniel Jones look like Dan Marino.
No,
of course.
And honestly, that's what I think Odell did back in 2016 to a slowing down, aging Eli Manning.
Right.
Like, sometimes one player, if they're that dynamic, and how often have we graced our eyes on players that are that dynamic, they can change everything.
Absolutely.
And it is remarkable that 3 weeks into his NFL career, Leak is having that kind of impact on the Giant offense. But to me, the story about what they did yesterday and what they can do moving forward that can legitimize this team and get them on a playoff run and get you fully believing is what we saw on the defensive side. To the point where their defense bailed them out Because in the second half, and I don't think it was about play calling. I don't think it was about foot off the gas. I think it was about lack of execution.
Yeah.
Into what led to the Giants offensively struggling in the second half. But when you have Brian Burns showing up, when you have Dexter Lawrence playing the way he's playing, when you have, I can't believe I'm using this guy's name on the radio, Azeez Ojulari.
The unsung hero of yesterday.
I mean, I forgot Azeez existed. Yeah.
God bless you.
Thank you. He was impactful in every way. This defense yesterday, granted against the Brown team that has their issues.
Well,
that was the thing that excites me moving forward about what this team can be.
And for anybody that's going to call up today at 888-808-1019 and wants to bring up the Browns offensive line and take it with all a grain of salt, very early in this game, the Giants lost two of their three top corners in Drew Phillips and Adoree Jackson. We'll see if they're able to play Thursday. The Giants basically played with a Band-Aid secondary and Tay Banks getting exposed on top of that. They had their injuries too yesterday, and the defense still held up.
And the Giants are 1-2, and now they set themselves up for a huge Thursday night against the Dallas Cowboys. We'll obviously spend more time on that as we get closer to that game. We'll come back and get to your phone calls from a happy Giant fan, or maybe the skeptical Giant fan who looks at yesterday's game and says, I'm glad we won, but we still stink. 888-808-1019. Plus, is it debatable what Devin Singletary did at the end of the game? We'll get into it, and we'll see who was closest in our Malik Nabers target game. It's Evan and Tiki. Tiki off today. We'll hopefully hear from him before the show is over, and he'll be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. At the end of this game, as the Giants were holding on for dear life to defeat the Cleveland Browns and get their first win of the year, we saw Devin Singletary break loose and then go down at the 2-yard line. And I always love when that happens because I know the fantasy football reaction is going to be crazy. But my reaction to it when it happened was, oh, okay, it makes sense. Because in the moment you're thinking to yourself, if they get a first down, the game is over. Right, if they just get a first down, it's done. Right? There's 2 minutes to go. They don't have any more timeouts, Cleveland. I think they had used all three.
They did, yeah.
So all he's got to do is just get a first down. And he's rumbling out, and he's going. And when he goes down at the 1-yard line, my thought was, ah, this is funny. Fantasy owners are going to freak out. But it makes a lot of sense. But there are some who disagreed with what Devin Singletary did, including your man, your BFF.
My guy?
Brandon Jacobs. Oh. Brandon Jacobs, quote, this is on social media last night. I guess my football IQ is trash. The score is 21-15 with a little over 2 minutes left. I'm sorry, fellas. I'm scoring to make it a two-possession game. Defense, they pay you to play just like they pay me to score. Devin got good bleep out there today, bro.
All right. First of all, before we even get to the play, I think it's time in a safe room to say something about Brandon Jacobs.
Are you going to insult my guy, Brandon Jacobs?
Brandon Jacobs is a nice man and a great, great all-time Giant.
Yeah?
He came on this show a week or 2 weeks ago trashing my thoughts on Giants quarterback, basically saying the Giants should find their own Brock Purdy, as if that is, you know, what happens to
every
team.
You're not framing this correctly. I know this is political season, so you just want to frame it however you want to frame it. Brandon was mad at you for suggesting that the Giants should be tanking for a quarterback.
For a quarterback, because his point was you could find quarterbacks everywhere. You can't. Okay.
His point was also it's 2 weeks into the season.
Well, point was he was wrong on that in his explanation. And this, it's math. And we saw the Jets and Browns a couple years ago, how little time you need to come back in a game. I love the selfless nature of that play by Devin Singletary.
Okay, so I'm an open-minded guy. So my gut reaction, like I said, was go down. Just go down. Clock's going to run out. Good night. See you later. But I respect Brandon Jacobs. I do. Guy played in the league. Guy's a running back. He also goes on to say, I get all y'all possibilities in that scenario. I'm not stupid, so please don't think that. If you think Deshaun Watson was going to drive the field to score, you're sadly mistaken. So I read this. And I said, let me give this a little bit more thought. For the Giants to blow a game after now taking a 2-score lead, go through all the things that has to happen, okay?
All right.
First of all, the Browns have to score. Right? They got to go down the field. They got to score. Then they got to recover an onside kick, which never happens. And then they got to score again. So you with me?
Okay.
For the Giants to lose the game with Singletary going down, all you need is one mistake. You need somehow, when you're kneeling on the football, for Daniel Jones to slip. Ball gets loose. Browns get it. They score. They win. Don't you think, as unlikely as both of those things are, like we all admit, both of those things are very unlikely. Don't you think that scenario is actually likelier than the scenario of the Browns scoring, recovering an onside kick, and then scoring again? Like, Brandon kind of makes sense.
No, you know what? Here's where he doesn't make sense where you're going to take your big fat L. It's more than just winning, losing game. I grant it would take a catastrophic amount of events to take place for the Giants to have lost that game if Singletary ran in. However, you know who the first people thanking Devin Singletary were? And this is true.
Mm-hmm.
The defense. Thanks, bro. We didn't have to go back out there. You know what would have been really bad? Brian Burns pulling a hamstring, rushing Deshaun Watson with the game already in doubt for no reason. And then he's unavailable on Thursday night. He preserved the entire health of the defense heading into this Thursday night game by just saying, game over. That's it.
It's a fair point. It's a fair point. No, I'm not arguing with you. I'm open-minded. I don't like to just call people stupid the way you do. I like to think about it. I like to give it some thought and say, oh, maybe that does make sense.
What bothers me, and this is why I referenced this at the beginning of the show of, you know, the points that they got but they didn't get, whenever, and I'm used to this because Daniel Jones has put us in the position of this, I'm used to arguing stats and everybody.
Oh, yeah, he had a great day. They only scored 3 touchdowns.
Well, they really scored 4. I hate that part of it, that the end result is it looks a lot better if they have 28 points and you get, you know, at the end of the year, people forget those little moments Singletary.
No doubt.
They come back. Like, I'll give you another one. Saquon Barkley finishes with one more touchdown than Devin Singletary this year.
Exactly.
And Eagle fans go, oh, he had more touchdowns than Singletary. Forget about those
moments. You bring up the fan part of it, which I totally understand, but this is where I do have to give Devin Singletary a lot of credit. Devin Singletary is going to re-enter free agency again. And when general managers and agents are talking, stats are sometimes brought up. And, you know, it's the difference between 5 touchdowns and 6 touchdowns.
True.
So I think it does take a level of selflessness, to not even care about that. And I do respect that. And it's also funny because I think about Giant history and I think about Ahmad Bradshaw
falling in.
Trying to do that and falling in. Either way, though, Giant fans, you got a victory. We'll get to your calls and how you feel about it. As the show rolls on, we'll talk about what happened in the second half and who you blame for the fact that the Giants barely held on. And a lot of Mets talk as well. They had an electric weekend at Citi Field. 888-808-1019. Phil in Toms River, New Jersey. Good afternoon, Phil.
Good, Evan. How are you guys doing today?
Good. What's up?
All right, listen, I'm very happy about the Giants win. I'm excited about neighbors. I'm excited about the offensive line. But the most thing I'm excited about is this guy, Bowen. After the first game and a half, he adjusted the defense. And I know you say Banks got exposed yesterday. Let me break it down for you. This defense won the game for him. They come out, opening kickoff, first play of the game, boom, touchdown. I'm like, damn, we're in trouble, this defense. They came out. He changed. He went to man-on-man. Banks played Amari Cooper man-on-man that whole game, following the ball around everywhere. He made 3 amazing catches where Banks was all over him on everyone. The touchdown.
That second touchdown, he was wide open, and Banks got cooked out of his shoes.
Sean, I'll give you that. Sean, I'll give you that second touchdown. It looks like Banks was tired. They haven't played man all game, all year. The second half of the Washington game, he started blitzing a little more and playing man. But they played man coverage all game. Yeah. They said, go, guys. We're coming after them. And they did. And I saw Bowen. Wink never made adjustments like that. Adjustments in game. And he came out and he made adjustments that we're playing. We lost our 3 best corners. 3 best. We have Banks on one side and Fly, and that's it. We're playing man coverage on these guys. And listen, he caught, what did he catch? 5 for 78, 2 touchdowns. But he followed him all game, and that's what you want. And you know what? Every single catch was contested. That's what I want to see from a young guy. He gave up a touchdown, came back, every single catch. Look at the 3 catches he made on the sideline. I don't think anybody – and Cooper played terrible the first 2 weeks.
I mean, again, it's not every single catch.
Like you said, Sean.
Thanks for
the call.
Phil, I got to let you go. When you keep saying every single catch and ignoring the obvious touchdown where Banks gave him 7 yards to get in the end zone.
I think on the first touchdown of the game, I mean, he had great coverage.
Great coverage. The rest of the game, and look, I don't necessarily think that means Banks is a bust by any means. Banks got worked a bit, but he's right. It was a different presented style of defense than Bowen. Bowen didn't like the blitz at all when he ran Tennessee's defense. He relied on his front 4, and maybe blitzing really helped out Burns, Dexter, and Thibodeau. Because
they got to the quarterback 8 times yesterday.
Yeah.
8 sacks yesterday. They got constant pressure. The defense played incredibly well. And if this team is going anywhere, if this team is going to surprise some and be in the mix, that's going to be their calling card. That's going to be the strength of this team.
If they get the sack turnovers to Burns' play at the end of the half.
Great play.
That was an it-moved moment. It was. Yeah. Because that's what you salivate for when you try to trade for Brian Burns. When he knocks the ball out of Watson's hands. And I was waiting for the hand was going forward thing. I had to hesitate. What a moment in that game, too, for that.
And a very impact play by Brian Burns, who, let's be nicely, was a little quiet over the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
After being acquired by the Giants and being given a ton of money. Sonny in Malvern. Hey, Sonny.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up, man?
Not much. Listen, a couple of points. Number one, Sean, I was going to kill you for not being a true Giants fan after 2 weeks giving up on your team and wearing a brown paper bag over your head. But I do agree with you about Singletary going down because the main reason, number one, not only do you automatically win the game except for a fumble, like Evan said, which is, you know, remote, but because it saves the defense from going back out there and those guys getting extra snaps and a possibility of an injured player, which is key. Number two, guys, everybody had a hand in this win. You forget about the defensive back that was on the Denver practice squad all last year and had his first NFL snap and had a guard, Cooper, at the end of the game.
Yeah, what was his name? He was out there, and that was where I first figured out that what's his face? Jackson was hurt. Was it Artie Green? I looked up, I said, who is number 35 out here?
Right.
Exactly. So no one's talking about him, but kudos to him, and obviously kudos to the rest of the team. It was all-around effort. But the Giants still have a small problem, guys, or a big problem, how you look at it. Their field goal kicker, you got to be able to make a field goal under 50 yards
Sonny.
In the NFL. So they still got a problem there.
Sonny, I'm glad you brought that up. And Brian Daboll was non-committal today to Greg Joseph kicking on Thursday. Evan, you know you've been there. When a guy burns your team and you get him on your team. The idea 2 years ago, my Christmas Eve was quite literally ruined because Greg Joseph had no problem hitting a 61-yard field goal to beat the Giants. And yet, yesterday...
Yes.
How do you miss so badly on a beautiful afternoon in Cleveland, 46?
But also, I think, and this is where Brian Daboll deserves some criticism, he played for a field goal with a kicker that you really can't trust.
Oh, come on, it's 46 yards, kicker you can't trust.
But a 46-yarder is not a 36-yarder, and a 36-yarder is not a 26-yarder.
In today's NFL, and he watched the guy beat him with a 60-yarder. You've got to hit that kick.
Sean, I didn't say he didn't have to hit the kick. I'm saying I would be a little bit more aggressive.
No, field goal ends the game.
You're playing for a 50-yard field goal. No, I obviously...
A week ago, we killed him that they didn't have a kicker. He gets the kicker place. You got to play for the field goal there. Ends the game.
I didn't say don't play for the field goal. He ran the ball three times into the ground. How about make a play? Get a first down.
Not
only do you kill the clock a little bit, but you also have a chance to make it a much more gettable field goal.
Evan, the football has changed. These kickers weekly. I mean, look at on Dallas. Make kicks from the parking lot.
Sean, this isn't Graham Gano, though. This is a guy you literally picked up because he was unemployed. Don't you think it's a little bit different?
Well, okay, that doesn't mean he's perfect, but I'm not asking to hit a 55-yard, 46. I don't care if you were working at Costco checking receipts the week before. If you have a foot and you have the ability to kick that you made a team, you should be able to make that kick.
Kiss my fat ass!
You should. So do you want him cut? Is that what you're suggesting?
I don't want him cut, but no guarantee he should be out there. Play what's his name? Jude McEnemy?
Where's Fat Randy?
McEnemy?
Is Fat Randy Bullock still around? Bring him back.
I mean.
What? What's wrong with Fat Randy?
I think something's hurting Fat Randy.
What, his stomach?
Partially. What's hurting Fat Randy is the dynamic kickoff rules. You can't trust the guy to be a player out there. You actually need an athlete at the kicker position. Yeah. You notice that's why he's unemployed?
Well, if you kick the ball through the end zone, then you don't have to worry about it.
Well, he has a problem doing that as well.
Let's go to Terry in Jersey City. What's up, Terry?
Fellas, lifelong Giants fan, are we this starved for a victory?
Yes.
That we're turning this into the Super Bowl?
Yes.
We collapsed again in the second half.
Not really.
Oh, come on. Daniel Jones reverted. He goes in the end zone off his back foot, throws into double coverage. Neighbors knocks it down, thank God.
Okay, so good play.
We made Cooper look like he was in the in the Hall of Fame.
Terry, the Browns had one drive. I mean, look, the Giants, I was not happy with Daniel Jones' performance in the second half. At first, I thought it was Dable's play calling. It really wasn't. This is not an indictment that it was bad. In the end, the Giants in that second half still were in position where they have a makeable field goal attempt, and Devin Singletary puts the game on ice and runs. Like, if you add up those points, I'm sorry. Well, in Cleveland, Sean, 31 points should be enough.
Sean, like always in life, you're both right, okay? They did almost collapse. That was not a pretty second half. Where our caller is wrong is that they won the freaking game.
Of course.
And I think in the NFL, yeah, we'll go through the good and the bad, rightfully so, because you need to clean up some of the bad from week to week if you want to get to where you want to go. But let's not sugarcoat what happened in the second half of this game. They punted the ball five times. Devin Singletary put the ball on the ground.
Terrible.
They got conservative playing for a field goal. I know we just argued about that with Greg Joseph. You're right about the defense. The defense did everything.
They count when you say it's a collapse.
I understand, but offensively, they also got shut out in the second half. Daniel Jones, who put up these massive numbers in the first half. Like, if you look at the box score, you see Daniel Jones's numbers, and they're fantastic. But in the first half, he was 17 for 19 for 178 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. His numbers in the second half were 7 for 15 for 58 yards.
Again. Like,
they did not offensively play well in the second half of this game, but my point is, they won!
Right. And I'm not...
Move on, take your victory, and run the hell out of town.
If you're telling me or asking me, am I happy with the way Daniel Jones played in the second half yesterday? I'm not. And that's why he's not going to win NFC Offensive Player of the Week, and he had a shot at
it. Is that what you're thinking about?
But in the end, you think about where we were. This is the Cleveland Browns. I know their offense stinks. Their defense, which is better at home, the Giants did enough offensively with Daniel Jones to, in theory, put 31 points on the board.
Well,
sorry, you got to take that. You can't call it a collapse.
No, but here's the way I look at the NFL, and I think we all need to get here. This is a very healthy place I think I'm at. At 41 years old, I'm in a very healthy place. You guys don't understand it, or you're hypocrites. I'm not sure which one.
Both.
When the Jets win a game against the Tennessee Titans a week and a half ago, and I remember saying this on the radio, to open the program, or whenever the hell we started talking about the Jets, I said, it wasn't pretty, it was ugly, they won. Obviously, week to week, you need to be better if you want to get to the place that you're dreaming of getting to. In the Jets' case, it's the Super Bowl. In the Giants' case, it's 500. Obviously, no, I'm kidding. Winning the division or beating the Cowboys and the Eagles. So, yeah, it wasn't a flawless game yesterday, but there's only 17 games in the NFL. I'd rather win a game ugly with mistakes that need to be cleaned up than lose a sexy game.
I agree.
What I think Giant fans have to realize, and most of them do, is no one's saying yesterday was the Super Bowl. No one's saying yesterday was perfect. No one's saying there aren't things to clean up. But they won a game in the NFL, they're 1-2, and you move the hell on. You throw that win in your backpack, and you sprint to week 4.
And to put things in perspective in this town, and I think you're going to take this as a slight, but I promise it's not.
All right, here we go. Which of my local teams are you about to slight right now? Let me guess before you say it.
All right.
It's not going to be the Islanders, because you don't care about them yet, even though the Rangers had a preseason game.
Ryan Hurley would take away my microphone if I mentioned the New York Islanders in hour one of the show.
So it's not them.
No.
Certainly not the basketball team. They're irrelevant. They're not even in the league. I don't think you're ripping the Mets, because you know what? You're kind of buying into the OMG love right now.
I'm having fun with them.
So you're about to take a shot at the Jets. Go ahead.
All right. Everybody who wants to call today and say, Daniel Jones second half, they collapsed. Guys, look up at the scoreboard between Aaron Rodgers and Daniel Jones this week.
Don't do this.
Versus the god-awful Patriots, Aaron Rodgers, who we basically gave bouquets of roses to Friday morning, scored 21 points at home. Versus the much better Browns defense, Daniel Jones, and this is even without Singletary slotting, 21 points on the road in Cleveland. Can't have it both ways. We can't kiss the tookus of Aaron Rodgers Friday and sit here and tremble about Daniel Jones and the Giants collapsing yesterday.
You have eyes.
I do.
You have eyes?
Yeah.
You've watched football before?
A lot of it.
Okay. You watched Thursday night?
I did.
You watched Sunday afternoon?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Do you see a difference?
Most weeks, yeah.
No. I'm talking about that week. Did you see a difference between the quarterback you just mentioned and the quarterback that you watched yesterday? Forget the numbers. Forget the overall stats, because they can be misleading.
I saw one big difference. Lazard much better than Darius Slayton.
And Garrett Wilson, not quite in the class of Malik Neighbors.
Which is unfortunate.
By the way, I'm going to lose all those stat bets that we made between Neighbors and Wilson.
Garrett, cute player, good player. Unfortunately, not in the class.
You know what? I hand you that crown for now.
Thank you.
Enjoy it for now. Because to the credit of Malik Neighbors, he has began his career. I mean, think about this. In any position in the NFL, to begin your career making this kind of impact in the NFL, it's pretty crazy.
Who would you rather have, Randy Moss in his prime or Malik Neighbors?
All right. Take it easy now, pal. Tank guy now is putting his wide receiver first ballot in the Hall of Fame. Bruce in Brooklyn. What's up, Bruce?
How you doing, guys? I think the Giants can now be upgraded to a work in progress, from totally hopeless to now a work in progress. And I think that... the thing that I really liked about the game was that the Giants showed that they can dominate the line of scrimmage at times. And I think if you can do that, I mean, how many times was Daniel Jones knocked down yesterday. Not too many. I think he was upright most of the game. And I'll take a few holding penalties to keep Daniel Jones on his feet. And the defensive line really... they really made me happy on Sunday. And I know Cleveland doesn't really have a great running game. I think that this game against Dallas is like their Super Bowl. I mean, they've gotta play well against Dallas. Yeah. They don't have to win, but they've gotta.
No, that's a loser mentality. They don't have to win. Of course they have to win.
Well, they can't
enough of losing to division rivals.
But you can't
don't
lose 40-0. Well, you know, if they get burned on a last-minute field goal, we're going to feel horrible about it Friday morning, but at least it showed, all right. You're not getting punched in the mouth and bullied by them.
Sure, if you want to say that losing by 3 will make you feel a lot better than losing by 40, fine. But they've graduated from that. They got to win. They got to win football games. Win games against teams they haven't been able to beat. I think their offensive line looks vastly, vastly improved. But what I wonder about, I was thinking about this last night. I was thinking about it this morning. The Giant offensive line is competent, right? We can all agree on that.
Yeah.
Is it really that good, or are we just so used to watching such bad offensive line play that it's now average, but average feels amazing compared to the garbage we've watched?
Well, but that's the truth, though. In the NFL, you just need average offensive line play to stay on schedule. So it may be just that, and it probably is. There were a couple plays yesterday, including that unbelievable Neighbors first touchdown catch, where Daniel Jones gets drilled, if you look at the replay, like buried into the ground. You're thinking you're going to have to draw, you know, chalk around him. But he's standing in there now because, A, he trusts the offensive line, and, B, he's trusting Neighbors that when he does get hit like that, it's no longer wilting, taking the bad sack, not getting rid of the ball. Like, he's got confidence now in the O-line and wide receiver.
And their run blocking is significantly better.
Yeah.
Look, their offensive line last year killed them. It was one of the main reasons why the season went haywire and one of the main reasons why Daniel couldn't stay on the field. So their offensive line has already made incredible improvements. There were a couple of penalties that ain't to clean up. Jermaine Illuminor was called for 2. Yep. Andrew Thomas had a false start.
And Thomas had a bad day yesterday, too.
Yeah, especially for Andrew Thomas' standards. He's one of the best left tackles in the world. But yeah, I mean, their offensive line feels a lot better. And that defensive line, to me, that's the strength of the team. Like, their formula is going to be their defensive line, their ability to get to the quarterback, and having a game-breaking offensive weapon that if you can get the ball in his hands enough times in a game, he makes 2 or 3 big plays, good night, and that'll be enough. And that's what reminds me of Odell from 2016.
They're going to win this division, aren't they?
Oh, you're all the way over there now.
The way you just, like, painted the picture, like, you could see it setting up. The Eagles are Dallas is That Washington probably hurt you. They lose tonight to the Bengals. They're in the mix.
You know what? There's only one reaction to this. One shocking reaction we all have to the way the Giants are playing, and certainly your reaction. Holy crap, yeah. Meanwhile, to the Giants' credit, so last week I invented holy crap. I wanted to rally the New York Giants, just like the Mets had an OMG. The Giants organically, they didn't need my help, have already come up with their own catchphrase for 2024. You want to explain it to the audience? This is a real story. This is not me making music. It's not me making stuff up. This is real Giant shtick. They have followed the Met formula, and they don't even need holy crap, though I think holy crap is a lot of fun. Can you play that one more time real quick? Yeah. And then we can get to what the
holy crap.
Okay, now what is the Giants' real catchphrase?
Well, that sound is Evan knowing that his song is now out of date. After
my days are numbered.
After the 7-0 lead, the fumble, and the snap, and this was confirmed postgame by Jason Pinnock and Dexter Lawrence, the Giants' defense and their main players all looked at each other and said, F it, with the vulgar part of it.
Yes.
And that became their rallying cry throughout yesterday as they got going. They all started yelling at each other. Bleep it.
So, a couple of questions with that.
Yeah.
And this is the best kind of shtick. Organic stuff, right? Yeah. Stuff that's real. OMG was real. It wasn't invented by me on Sports Talk Radio on a Tuesday afternoon in May. It literally happened.
Oh, my God.
So, I'm glad that the Giants have their own thing, but it is vulgar. I mean, let's just be honest.
I like it, though.
It involves the F word. Are they going to be able to make T-shirts with bleep it?
I've seen them circulating on Twitter, but I don't know if the Giants are firmly behind them. They have a star on the letter U. Let's put it that way.
They have a star on the letter U?
Instead of the letter U.
Oh, so it's...
Come on, F.
F, bleep. Okay, I got you now.
Yes.
I'm a loser.
I was just trying to put that kindly here on the radio. Yes.
Okay.
Those are circulating.
Yeah, so the problem is, like, are kids going to wear that?
Why does everything have to be made for
kids?
Because
here's why. I'll tell you why. Okay? Because OMG is very family friendly.
Great.
And so when you're at Citi Field last night, there's a guy who was actually sitting next to him who has the big OMG sign, and there are kids wearing the OMG t-shirts, and even people are chanting OMG. Are we going to have that at MetLife Stadium on Thursday night? Are people going to chant here, bleep it, bleep it, bleep
it? I don't know if they'll go that crazy, but as far as t-shirts go, I would just say this. If you are a kid in the tri-state area ages 10 or younger, chances are if you watch the Giants games with your dad or your mom, you've heard that word a lot.
You probably have.
So you're probably used to it.
No, I'm not trying to rain on your parade because I love that the Giants are doing it. I love that it's organic, and I love that it's working. I love that the Giants...
I like that it's edgy, too. Enough with the PC stuff.
I just don't know if it could fully take off when it's that edgy.
Well, look...
You know what I mean?
If they beat the Cowboys, and in the fourth quarter, that's what you hear chanting MetLife, it's arrived.
Because here's the problem. So last night at Citi Field, it was Fan Appreciation Day. It was the last home game of the regular season. And God willing, baseball God willing, there'll be another home game. So they did a little feature on the scoreboard where they went through all the shtick that the Mets had this season, like honoring it. Tommy, I apologize. Positive Tommy did not make it.
They shut Tommy out?
Positive Tommy got shut out from the scoreboard feature.
Oh, that's the brilliance of Positive Tommy, though. The real ones know what I've contributed to the season. The Mets don't know it, but the real ones do.
This is why I'm the future.
Someone told me that I should start calling Positive Tommy Repetitive Tommy. And I was like, I don't know.
Does it roll off the tongue?
It doesn't have that same ring to it. Repetitive
Tommy. How about Dedicated Tommy?
Okay. So when they were tributing... This will make sense. When they were tributing all the shtick that the Mets had, they not only left out Positive Tommy, they left out Hawk Tua Girl. And the reason they left her out was because it's not PG. Because it's not for the kids.
What about the pimp?
So I don't even think they mentioned him either.
Oh, come on, Mets.
They really stuck it to the OMG. They stuck it to the Grimace. Grimace, you're our lucky charm. So I think it's a reminder.
Seymour Wiener was there.
Seymour Wiener was there. Thank you for reminding me. Was at the game.
Hot dog. Good for him.
They brought him back. So the season started with Seymour Wiener, which I guess is not too edgy because it's the man's name. So, it's not edgy. It's a guy's name. He's a war hero. So they mentioned all of that, but they left out the vulgar stuff. And that's why I wonder, like, is Carl Banks and Bob Papa in the middle of a broadcast going to say bleep it? No, but Howie Rose says OMG.
They came close on that Singletary slot.
But you know what they can say on a Giant broadcast? They can't say F it, but they can say holy crap.
Holy crap. Holy crap. Ev, a day late and a dollar short, pal.
I know. No, I'm happy that my idea is not working because it means the Giants came up with something themselves. Rich is calling from Staten Island. How are you, Rich?
Thanks for taking my call, guys. I'm doing much better today with yesterday's victory. But I got to be honest with you. I want to utilize the 50,000 powerful watts of WFAN to get the following message out.
Go.
And I'm telling you, if the Giants even dream that they're going to beat the Cowboys Thursday night, they better wake up and apologize. Because that ain't happening, guys. Let's be real.
Excuse me?
Apologize for what?
Yeah, who are they apologizing to?
Apologize for thinking they can beat the Cowboys. They're not beating the Cowboys.
Rich, are you a Cowboy fan?
I'm a Giant fan. I go back to Fran Tarkenton back in the 60s,
Rich,
man.
Rich, I don't care if you go back to Y.A. Tittle and whatever.
I don't care if you go back to Charlie Connerly.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not the most confident they're going to beat the Cowboys, but who are the Cowboys? Have you watched them this year?
I think the Cowboys got a serious managerial problem. They got the talent. They just don't have anybody to put it all
together. They should fire Boone if they have a managerial problem.
What I find really strange about this, especially since he revealed that he's a Giant fan that goes way back, why is it so impossible for the New York Giants to beat a Dallas Cowboy team that clearly feels damaged, if not completely broken?
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb is pouting like a baby on the sideline. This is not the same defense. Mike Zimmer's defense as opposed to Dan Quinn's defense, completely different. They can't stop the run at all. And holy crap, the Giants got a shot here.
See? Yeah, it happened.
They got a shot.
Like, it's Monday, and usually my opinions start to form as we get closer. It's obviously a short week. So I don't even know if I'm telling you the Giants are going to win yet. I'll tell you that by Wednesday. Maybe by tomorrow. Maybe I'll work quicker. But the idea that on a Monday afternoon, as a diehard Giant fan, as he suggested, to call up and say, the Giants should apologize for even suggesting they could beat the Dallas Cowboys as if the Dallas Cowboys are what? Like, that's the part that doesn't make sense.
Zach Wilson beat the Eagles last year. Bo Nix beat the Bucks yesterday. Who's dreaming? It's the NFL. forget the Giant Cowboys to begin with. Just by sheer the NFL, they could beat the Cowboys.
Well, I mean, and I get that last year was a disaster. The Cowboys outscored the Giants last year. I don't know. Do you know the number? It's pretty bad. You want to add it up for everybody, or I'll do it for you?
Was it 92 to 17?
See, you shortchanged your team a little bit. They got outscored 89 to 17.
Okay.
So you're very close.
Okay.
I respect that. They got outscored 89 to 17. It was bad. I mean, they haven't beat the Cowboys consistently in a million years.
And
I get
seven
that.
Seven of those 17 were the very last play of the very last meeting when they were basically trying with DeVito at the end.
Right. But I think coming off of what their formula was yesterday, you got to believe they've got a shot. Especially with how damaged the Dallas Cowboys look right now. And look, if they win that game Thursday night, and I don't care how damaged the Cowboys are. I don't care how bad they are at stopping the run. I don't care how flawed Mike McCarthy is. None of that crap matters. If you beat the Dallas Cowboys for the first time, and I think it's seven or eight tries, the Giant fan on Friday is going to be through the moon.
Oh, horns will be honking in the tri-state area. Flags will be flying. It'll be an insane pandemonium scene Friday if they finally beat Dak Prescott, the Cowboys.